Welcome in to the Future Sox podcast. My name is Elijah Evans, and I'm here with a very special episode of the podcast today as I am joined by not one, but two Chicago White Sox prospects. I've got pitching prospects Nick Nastrini and Jordan Leisure joining me today. We're going to talk all about just, you know, spring training, everything that's been going on in their lives since coming over to the Sox last year, in addition to just, you know, impressions around camp, being with the White Sox for the first time, heading into their first full season with the White Sox, both with the goal of, you know, making a big impact in Chicago. So the two of these guys have been dominating all spring. It's been pretty impressive stuff. Nick has thrown 11 innings of one run ball. Jordan's got 7 1/3 innings of no run ball under his belt this spring. So Jordan's got you beat there a little bit, Nick. But we appreciate you guys coming on and welcome on to the show.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, for sure. So we'll start here for a little bit. I know I talked to both of you guys last year a few times, and, you know, it was cool to kind of hear just the transition over from the Dodgers. But what has it been like generally to go through the experience together of, you know, getting drafted by the Dodgers, being traded to the White Sox, and now being in your first camp with the White Sox with both of you guys, you know, knocking on the door to the big leagues? I'll start with you, Nick.
I was going to ask who's going to go first here.
Yeah.
It's really fun. This camp has been really nice. It's been nice to get to know a lot of the guys on the team already, like Michael, Fetty, Ben Attendee, Gavin Sheets, some of the position players. It's been a pretty good spring, so I'm happy to be able to connect with the guys on the team and get to know them, and it's going to make the transition to the big leagues a lot easier.
How about you, Jordan?
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing, getting to know a lot of the newer guys in camp, but also getting to know the older guys they brought in as well, picking their brain. It's been pretty great, good experience, and I keep saying it, but just the whole spring has been like really good vibes all around the clubhouse, and everyone's coming in with great attitudes, and so it feels like it's going to be a really good season right from the start.
Yeah, that's awesome. What is it like kind of, you know, going into spring as guys who are trying to make the team, right? And being able to be in the clubhouse with a lot of guys you played with last year. So for you, Nick, I mean, a lot of the guys in Birmingham, and then Jordan, you were in Charlotte, obviously, down the stretch, and you finished in Charlotte too, Nick. So what's it like kind of having a lot of those other prospects with you in the clubhouse as opposed to, you know, just being the new guy with a bunch of faces?
It's definitely a lot of fun getting to see like guys like Tim Elko, Colson, Jonathan, Eater and Bush. I mean, it's nice to walk in there, see familiar faces, but it's also nice to get to know some of the other guys too, like I touched on a couple minutes ago. So, but it definitely helps a lot. And also being able to see Jordan in there, I've been playing with him for about 3 years now. So it definitely makes it a lot easier to get acclimated and, you know, kind of get your feet wet.
Yeah. Pretty much what he said. I didn't get to see a whole lot of the guys in Birmingham, but I met some of them in the fall league, like Frazier and Eater. But yeah, and then coming from Charlotte, and a lot of the guys that were on that Charlotte team aren't with the White Sox anymore. So, but there's still a few that are around, like Nick Padilla, who's a really great dude. Love hanging out with him. But yeah, just hanging out with those guys and having them, those close relationships with those guys, it's nice.
When you're coming into camp now, so you guys obviously being with the Dodgers, the great, you know, pitching development staff known for that kind of around the league, and then coming over to the White Sox, and then this offseason, you know, Brian Bannister being brought in and kind of a new regime of the pitching staff. What's it been like kind of just working with different guys over the last year and getting used to just taking advice, but also knowing the stuff you've been working on for the past, you know, 2-3 years?
Jordan, do you want to go first? Or you want me to go
first? Yeah, take this one, Jordan.
Yeah, I'll go first. I was gonna say it's kind of nice to get away from what you've been hearing over and over for the past 2.5 years, whatever it was, working with the same guys over on the Dodger side, coming over here, kind of getting different direction, different ideas from different coaches. And, you know, the first time I worked with Bannister in the first bullpen I threw in the spring, he already had a couple ideas he wanted to work with me on, and like super small adjustments, and like right away in that bullpen I tried them out, and made a huge difference. So just kind of getting a different set of eyes, I guess, looking at you, and different ideas can make a huge difference, and I feel like it's helped me a lot already this spring.
Yeah, I mean, hearing the same thing over and over again for 2 years is definitely helpful, because you you can really understand what makes you good. But like Jordan said, it's very repetitive, and there are so many great minds out there, and to hear someone else's perspective really allows you to broaden your horizons as far as development goes, and what maybe, you know, trying something else out or a different perspective on things, just like maybe sequencing or like pitch selection in certain counts. So talking, or like you said, talking to Bannister and Katz, that's kind of something that I've been working on them a bunch with, is sequencing and like what I want to throw to certain guys in certain counts to get ahead, to get back into count. So it's nice to, it's refreshing to have a different set of eyes and a different set of opinions.
Right. Yeah, that makes total sense. Just get a variety of kind of thoughts on what you're doing. In terms of the actual pitches you've been working on, I know, Jordan, I've talked to you about this a few times, but the curveball edition last year, what is kind of the development been on that pitch? And in this spring heading into, you know, your first full season, really utilizing that as a third offering, how have they kind of helped you hone in on that pitch so far?
Yeah, just kind of finding the right counts to throw it. Like, obviously, I know I can trust what it's going to do now with the consistent movement and where I want to throw it. But now it's just all about finding what counts I want to throw it in, what hitters, and stuff like that. So, even after my last outing, talking with, Katz, just trying to find times to prioritize throwing that pitch, let's say 0-0 to lefties or whatever it is, to finish off the spring with that. That way, start of the season, I can go in full 100% confidence, knowing what I want to do with that.
Yeah, and it changes the game, obviously, for you. In your sequencing a little bit, have you found certain counts more than ever that you really like to use that curveball to switch things off of the other two?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like even counts, like early in the count, 0-0, kind of just get them because, you know, obviously a lot of hitters going up hunting my fastball, they're trying to ambush that and get that to hit. So I think if I can just, you know, offer a curveball in there early, get them off the fastball, it's gonna make a huge difference.
Yeah, that makes sense. And then Nick, I know you haven't necessarily added a pitch, but in terms of adjusting any of your pitches this offseason, how has that process been in the spring, kind of putting things that you've changed into action?
One thing that I was working on a bunch during the offseason and the spring is just making sure that I can land everything in the zone and being able to also get it out of the zone. I feel like I've worked really hard on that, and I've been able to do that really, really well this spring, just getting ahead with my off speed. Because like Jordan said, like people are just going up there trying to ambush my fastball. So it's like if I can throw a slider 0-0, throw a curveball 0-0, throw a changeup 0-0, then it definitely sets me up for success later on in the at-bat, where I can use that fastball because they're, okay, he can throw the off-speed in the zone, multiple of them, and then they have to honor the other three pitches that I throw rather than just sitting heater, which is something that I definitely wasn't able to do my first year and half of last year. So being able to come into spring, being able to do that makes all the difference.
Right. You guys obviously both have good stuff, but it comes down sometimes at the higher levels, especially to that sequencing and being able to get things over for strikes to then change the momentum and the swing of things. You know, in camp so far, being around the White Sox now, your first spring training with the team, is there anybody that I've talked to some other guys about how it's fun to face your teammates and to be around guys, especially in live BP and practice before the spring. Is there any hitters in the organization that you guys have had kind of a notice, gotten to learn a little bit and see just how impressive they are by facing them or just watching them in spring? I'll start with you on this one, Nick.
I only faced the guys that are going to break with the team one time. Okay. In one of the live at-bats. Let me think for a second. I'm trying to think who got me. Zach, I hung a slider to Zach Remillar. He got me pretty good. He hit it pretty hard. But I liked facing Gavin Sheets. That was someone I liked facing for sure.
Yeah, the left-handed power guy, is that kind of something that was fun to face?
Yeah, I mean, it's fun to face guys that you know that if you make a mistake can take you deep. So yeah. You can kind of go up there and that's a good time to work on throwing your off speed in the zone, because like they're going up there looking for one thing, and that's the heater in their go zone. So if you can start something in their go zone and have it just like, you know, like a slider, like go back foot or change up, it definitely makes the at-bat a lot easier.
Yeah, completely. How about you, Jordan?
Yeah, I was just thinking, I remember going out for my first live AB of the spring, and I get on the mound and I look up and like the first batter is like Eloy. And I was like, oh, here we go. And then the next guy is Moncado. And then Luis and Benintendi. And I was like, oh, man. This is not easy. But, I mean, throwing it, like, when I was throwing to those guys, I felt like I had my best stuff going. Even though it was early, I felt like I was throwing hard. The slider was sharp and, like, everything was in zone or out of zone when I wanted it. And just the pitches that they were able to, like, take, I was like, man, I don't know how they took that. And then like pitches they were able to get the bat on and like foul off. And I was like, I'm not going to be able to get these guys out. I don't know what to do.
That's just the difference between, you know, those are experienced guys, right? They've been around, they know what they're doing. Is there, you know, you guys watch a lot more of the pitching than the hitting side of things. Is there any pitchers within the organization that you really kind of have seen take a step forward from guys you saw last year, or even just guys that you're just getting to know now that's been like, wow, that guy does something that I, you know, want to try to do better, right?
I mean, the obvious one for me is going to be our opening day starter, Garrett. To go from the bullpen and then coming off of Tommy John, and then, you know, like, I wouldn't say struggling last year, but there was definitely times where his velo wasn't where he wanted it to be, and then coming into spring and just absolutely dominating, that is an extremely impressive thing to me, because he hasn't started in 3 years, you know, or since he was at Tennessee. So coming into his first camp, wanting to be a starter, making it very known that's what he wanted to do, and going out there and winning that opening day job, I mean, I just got to tip my cap to the guy. That's impressive.
Yeah, 100%. That's a guy that I don't think – I mean, I think some thought he had maybe a chance to even crack the rotation, right? But a guy who's been – obviously the stuff is there, right? You see it when you watch him pitch. It's disgusting.
It's nasty.
But it's – yeah, but it's not – I mean, I even thought at the beginning of the offseason, it was like, oh, you have him as a long relief role, and then you can kind of see if he can become a starter like he wants to. But the idea that he's going from 12 and two-thirds innings in the majors last year to now starting opening day is one of the craziest things I've seen in some time. Jordan, anybody else building on Crochet that you've kind of noticed?
I don't know if I can say it. I was thinking Dylan Cease.
That's okay.
That's too early.
But more on the bullpen front, watching Jesse Chavez go about his business and what he's able to do in his 16th season of Major League Baseball is pretty incredible. I was just watching him warm up in the bullpen before the game on yesterday, and it's just like he knows exactly what he wants to do. He tells the catcher what pitch he's throwing and where, and that's exactly where the ball's going. And like if he misses, it's not by much, and he knows exactly what to do to fix that miss. And then like the next pitch, if he missed by like an inch, the next one is like right where he wanted it to begin with. So it's like watching him like work and just go about like what he throws and the conviction he throws and just how he uses his body and the space on the mound. It's pretty cool.
It's pretty cool to see the kind of contrast, right, between a guy like Crochet, right, who's making his first start now, and then a guy like Chavez, who's been in the league for as long as I've been watching baseball, which is pretty cool to imagine just that difference in the clubhouse. What's it kind of building on that with Chavez a little bit? There's a lot of vets in the clubhouse right now, right? Like this is a very different roster than it was for the White Sox, you know, even 6 months ago, right? There's a lot of guys just trying to kind of compete to find a spot on the team or to carve out a role for themselves. How has it been getting to know more of the veterans and just kind of learn from the different life experiences on many different teams that these guys have kind of gone through?
It's awesome, honestly. That's the best way to put it. Guys like Kopech on the pitching side, you know, he's an unreal guy. So getting to pick his brain and see how he goes about his daily routine is incredible. But even guys like Moustakas, you know, Corey Knievel, like those guys, they've been through it, and they're unbelievable people. They're very receptive and open to talking to the younger guys that aren't on the team. First day that Moose walks into the clubhouse, he's talking to me about mutual friends, you know, trying to get to know me. And I was kind of taken back a little bit because I really wasn't anticipating him walking into the clubhouse and talking to a guy that has no showtime, his first big league camp of the Sox, and he was, you know, just an open book to me. And I was like, wow, that's incredible. I was not expecting that out of you. So it's nice to, and very refreshing too, to talk to and get to know some of the veteran guys.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah. I was telling somebody the other day, you kind of like when you come up through pro ball, you hear stories about like older guys, how they treat like rookies, or how the, you know, like how rookies handle their first big league camp. And it's like, not like hazing, but like, I don't know, they just kind of treat them not respectfully. And I mean, the guys we have in our clubhouse are just the complete opposite. Dominic Leone, he's been in the game for a long time, and he acts like he's 21 years old, just like us, like, like super fun.
He's
to
not
be
wrong.
Around.
He's really not wrong.
This is a great, brings a great vibe to the clubhouse, and like always in a great mood. Just going to do whatever he can to make you laugh. And Knable's the same way. Just like you see him, he's like an intimidating guy, but like you talk to him and it's like super, super warm and welcoming. So, I mean, just having a bunch of guys like that kind of flipped my perception of what I thought big league camp was going to be like, hanging around older guys. So that was pretty cool. But yeah, just, I mean, I think that just speaks to the character of guys that Chris Getz brought in to be in the clubhouse.
Yeah, that's awesome that the energy is good. I felt that when I was in Arizona too. It definitely feels like a group of guys who are enjoying being together, and that matters, right? Like it goes a long way when you're just with guys and you're working hard, but you're also like happy to be around each other. That makes a difference, and it goes under the radar, I think. In terms of your games, you know, both you guys have been really good all spring. You both have looked great. It's just your command and the way you're attacking at bats. Is there anybody you've faced in games so far this spring that's really given you a hard time and kind of made you had to, it just stumped you on the mound when you've been pitching?
You want to go first or you want me to go first?
You take this one, Jordan, if you got one.
I was thinking, I can't remember his name, but there's a guy from the Royals, I think the lefty leadoff hitter, and I can't remember what his name was, but I probably threw him like 8 pitches and he fouled off like 6 of them. Like, I fouled off everything. I ended up walking him. But I was like, I don't know. I have nothing else to throw. Just like, yeah, just out on the mound, like begging him to like hit a ground ball. but I don't know. Other than that, I feel like it's hard to gauge in spring training. You never know what guys are going up there just to see pitches and what guys are trying to get their swings off. But yeah, I mean, I feel like for the most part, I felt pretty comfortable facing everybody.
That's good. It's great to hear. How about you, Nick? Anybody?
I mean, I would say the same thing. I feel pretty comfortable up there. I would just say that the biggest thing that I've really taken in collectively is they just don't miss as much. Way more foul balls. On pitches that I would get swing and misses on in AAA, AA, they're just foul balls. I'm like, gosh darn it, man. Like, how am I going to make you swing and miss here? But a guy that got me last game was JD Davis. I threw a fastball, and he probably hit that 108. He smoked it. And I was like, all right, yeah, you're good. But, yeah, for the most part, I feel pretty comfortable up there. I don't feel like anybody's giving me too hard of a time to where I'm like, okay, I can't get you out.
Yeah, that's great to hear. But that's also a guy in JD Davis, right, who had literally switched teams the day before that. And then
exactly,
that
yeah.
Game and like,
yeah
that's, he was, that's just big league guys.
All right, let's go.
Yeah, exactly. That's just how it goes. We'll shift gears a little bit here from the spring training stuff. Can each of you tell me something, you know, off the field about the other one here? I want to get into it a little bit, put you guys on the spot, make you kind of out each other a little bit. Something just funny, interesting that you picked up from each other over the few years. Whoever's got one.
Nick, you go.
I'm trying not to incriminate Leisure here. Jordan, you go first. I need a second to think.
I'm trying to think too. I don't know.
While you guys think, Nick, have you come around on Chicago hot dogs?
Oh yeah. Okay. So the day after, or the day I got the box, I came home and my roommate and I, we just housed almost the entire package. I've come around on them. They didn't give me. They put tomato wedges on them. I didn't know that. I didn't have any tomatoes. But other than that, I put everything on the hot dog that they gave me. So, yeah, no, it's pretty far.
Jordan, you got into that at all yet?
Not yet, but I was interested when I saw he got that box of hot dogs.
Yeah, it was hilarious back.
I wasn't expecting him to share, but I was kind of hoping he would. But
well, luckily you're going to be in Chicago soon enough and get to try plenty of them. Either you got got a good little tidbit.
I got one for Leisure right now. I got one.
All right, let's do it.
All right. Jordan Leisure is the biggest Zach Bryan fan of all time.
I think he
might know every single song.
Wow, that's pretty impressive.
I probably do know every song. If you were to like have one play, I'd probably know every word to every song.
Wow. All right. I can respect that. I can get with some Zach Bryan, so.
Yeah. Well, that's a good one. I was thinking one of the first ones that came to mind for me. Sorry, Nick. But his Instagram reels are some of the most wild. Like, it'll go from like a video that's like super like funny and goofy, and then he'll scroll and the next one's like somebody surfing, and then he'll scroll and it's like somebody getting hit by a truck.
my Instagram reels are insane. It's surfing, and then it'll be like a dog video, and then it'll be like someone like just breaking their leg doing like a scooter trick or something like that. It's the most absurd thing.
Like,
I don't know what's going on.
Violent.
Yeah.
I mean, you like what you like, I guess, right? Keep a little mix of everything. Just keeps you entertained.
I send them to him every single time, too. He gets every single one that I see.
I never know what I'm going to get. If I'm next to him, he'll show me. If I'm not, he'll send me. And I try to like anticipate if it's going to be something absolutely violent or like something funny.
That's pretty good stuff right there. Either of you guys got any superstitions? I've talked to a few guys in the past about, you know, not even superstitions fully, but just kind of routine things you have to do, either on a game you're pitching or just in general.
I wouldn't say so. Each environment you're in is completely different, so you have to be able to adapt whether you're on the road or you're at home. It's never going to be the same day is never going to roll around. So you have to be able to roll with the punches, whether it's like you have someone using something in the weight room that you need to do to use to warm up while they're working out right before the game, or you're on the road and someone forgot to bring a band or something like that, or you forgot your plyo balls or your shoelace broke or something like that. So you have to be able to roll with the punches. So I wouldn't really say that I have anything that I have to do. I used to have a lot of stuff that I had to do.
Yeah.
In the past, I had to eat teriyaki chicken the night before, but I don't have to do that anymore. I grew out of that.
All right, fair enough.
Yeah. I wouldn't say there's anything I have to do, but for my whole pro ball career, every year has been different, but. Before the games, I listen to the same songs in the same order before every game. And I usually start it about 50 minutes before the game starts. And I queue up the same songs in the same order every time. And then I don't look at this as a superstition, but every day, like when we get there, I put my socks on, left foot and then right foot. And I put my shoes on left foot and then right foot, and then I tie them left foot and then right foot. But
that's, I mean, I think that qualifies as a superstition, to be honest.
I've never noticed that.
Yeah, that's hilarious.
I've never noticed that. I do notice the music thing, though. He does do that every single
Yeah.
How many of those songs are Zach Bryan?
Just one. Just
one? Really? What song?
Yeah. It's called Cold Damn Vampires. And it's kind of slower, but if you like listen to the lyrics, I don't know, for me at least, it kind of gets me fired up.
All right, what are some of your other, you know, genres of the pregame music? I want this from you too, Nick, if you got any.
I usually start like kind of slow. I have like worship music and then country, some hip hop, some kind of EDM. Like Rufus Du Sol, I don't know if you know that DJ at all. And then the end kind of gets a little scarier. I won't talk too much about that, but it's more like, a little more scarier music, I guess.
That's fair. Gotta get a little bit of everything. Any songs or things you go to pregame, Nick?
I don't really listen to music pregame. I don't choose my own music. Just kind of whatever playing in the clubhouse, I'll vibe to. But if I had to choose, it would definitely be like something really, really slow. I definitely am a slower person. I don't like to do things super fast. Like if I'm listening to like, you know, like metal or rap or anything like that, I'll get way too fired up and I'll go out there and I'll start like chucking the ball and catch play and like I'll have no clue where it's going, and then I'm like throwing the ball everywhere in the bullpen and then I go into the game. I'm like, all right, that was too much. Like what game was it? I drank too much pre-workout before I went in. I think it was against the Reds when I came in the 6th, 7th, and 8th. I drank way too much pre-workout and I walked the first two guys. And I was like, oh, okay, I gotta settle down here. So yeah, I tried to do everything a lot slower. Listen to slow music if I had to. I wouldn't really pick a genre, just whatever it is slow.
Yeah, spoken like a true surfer right there. looking at the kind of the future and just the core of this team, you know, obviously everything's been, the roster and the organization has been overhauled a lot in the past year, and there's just tons of young talent up and down the farm system right now, more than there has been in a lot of years. Just a lot of depth too. How do you guys feel about just the look of this team kind of looking towards the future, you know, 2-3 years from now, some of the guys you guys have been playing with and getting to know, how do you just feel about the future of the organization right now?
I feel good about it. I feel good about this. We got guys like Colson, we got guys like Tim coming up, Jacob Gonzalez, Andrew Schultz, we just got Drew Thorpe. We have a really good group of young guys. So I think looking into the future 2-3 years from now, I think we're gonna be pretty competitive.
Yeah.
Yeah. We have a lot of really good pitchers out. Ty Bush, Jake Eater, Schultz. I mean, there's a ton of pitching depth. And then I mean, if you look at our lineup right now, like it's a really good lineup. I mean, the top 4 or 5, you got Benintendi, Moncada, Luis Robert, Eloy, Andrew Vaughn, Gavin Sheets. Like, I mean, that's pretty legit.
Don't forget about Pauly D. Pauly D too.
Yeah. Yeah, Pauly D. I mean, like, that's a legit lineup, and I think a lot of people are overlooking that. And then you add the depth on top of that of all the guys coming up in the farm, like Nick said, Tim Elko, Colson. I mean, I don't know. I feel like this season we have a pretty good chance to really compete. But especially 2 years, 3 years, 4 years down the road, it's going to be, I think, a lot of fun to be a part of.
Yeah, definitely. So we'll finish up on this last kind of segment. Both you guys are obviously like trying to make a big league roster right now. Like that's a given. That's the goal right now. You both told me last year that was the goal for this season. Of course it is, right? You're at that point in your career. You've pitched in AAA. What's it like being in these last few weeks of spring training and just kind of in a way just waiting, right? Like you're putting the work in, you've done your time, you're getting your innings in, you're pitching well, but also just kind of waiting to figure out what the ultimate decision is for you to head start the season.
Yeah, I mean, like I was telling you before we started, it's,
yeah,
you know, I feel like to this point we both have done what we needed to do to prove that we can make this team. And so it's kind of like, obviously we know that decision's coming, but at least for me, it's like, it still feels like it's a far ways away. And I'm trying not to like look forward to it too much and just, you know, let whatever happens happen. But it's still like, I don't know, like it doesn't feel like there's a week left of camp. It feels like we're
less than a week.
We still got a long ways to go, but it's coming to an end. And so try not to look forward to it too much, but knowing it's coming, there's like a lot of excitement and nervousness around that.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, I would say I'm taking a similar, you know, mindset towards it. It's just control what you can control. Like Jordan said, him and I have both done everything that we possibly can to prove to the front office and the coaches that we're deserving and we're ready for the jump to the big leagues. So you just kind of – but there's so many things you cannot control. You don't know what their plans are. You don't know what tricks they have up their sleeve. So you really just got to take every single day, you know, day by day, honestly. There's really not much you can do about it.
Right.
You know, when someone else is making a decision for you, there's nothing you can do about it. So you kind of just got to try to find a way to get better every single day and not think about it. Because if I let myself get consumed by decisions that others make, I just go down a rabbit hole that I don't need to go down. It's not good mentally. I am definitely not getting better physically because that's all I'm thinking about. So I'm not present. So I just try to stay with the mindset of, you know, just try to go in there and get better every single day, and whatever happens, happens.
Definitely. That sounds like you both have the right mindset. And I know a lot of people are rooting for both you guys to make the roster. We'll finish on this note. If you had to, when the time comes, right, for both of you to make your debuts with the White Sox, how about you, if you're willing to do this, I want to get a line prediction from each of you for the other one's debut. So if you, we'll start with you, Leisure. If you, for Nick's debut, when he makes his first start, what you got for him? Be honest, you can slam him, you can say six runs allowed, whatever you're feeling.
I'm going to hit him with six innings, four walks, but nine punch outs.
Hey, if you're getting through six innings with four walks, you're doing something right.
All right. Nine punch outs, only one or two hits, no runs. But
All right. I mean, I'll take the no runs and nine punch outs part, but the four walks, man, that hurts a little bit. Let's think. All right. For Jordan, I'm going to go first hitter is going to be a punchy. You know, they're going to on a heater up for sure.
Okay.
They're going to chuck that ball into the dugout, and I'm putting that thing in my back pocket quick. I'm holding on to that one, and I might bargain for some money after that one or something. But and then he's going to give up an absolute piss missile, but it's going to go right to the left fielder. Or no, it's going to be a lefty, sorry. So it's going to go right to the right fielder. It might be like 115 off the bat, but it's going to go right to whoever's patrolling right field that day. And then, so we got two outs. Then he's going to walk someone on a 3-2 count because he doesn't really four-pitch walk anybody. And then he's going to strike out the fourth dude. So he's going to go no hits, one walk, two strikeouts, one inning.
That's a pretty good name.
One barrel.
Yeah, and one, and absolute, one absolute barrel. Seed.
Like, it's always the lefties that get me, right?
Yeah, it's always the lefties I get, Leisure. So it's going to be an absolute seed. And he might have to go to the chiropractor after because he's going to whip his neck around. I'm just messing around. But
hey,
he hit me with the four walks, so I had to.
Yeah, I was going to say, at least he's not walking four guys, right?
I guess.
Hey, well, those debuts sound great to me. I look forward to watching both you guys. I know I can speak for many, many White Sox fans that say everyone's super excited to see what the future holds for you both. So I really appreciate you guys coming on and talking ball today, and we're excited to see you guys pitch this season.
For sure.
Thank you.
Thank you.